What's up, y'all? Welcome to our YouTube channel, Africans Talk Football. Appreciate your guys' continued support. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Thank you.
So welcome to another episode of Africans Talk Football, where we bring you fresh soccer news highlighting the Africans and African Americans who have seen success within the sport. We will also bring you news from our favorite soccer teams in the Premier League, as well as informing you on other teams in Europe and worldwide. Whether this is your first episode with us or you've been rocking with us from the jump, again, I just want to say thank you to all of our friends and supporters. Once again, my name is Cornelius, and I'm joined by my boys and fellow co-hosts. Mike, how you feeling tonight?
I'm feeling great, man. It's the holiday season, you know, birthday in a couple of days, so I'm feeling
true,
great.
True.
How about you guys? Gabriel?
I'm all right, man. Got a dub this week. Feeling good. Salam.
Holiday season. Feeling good, man. Cornelius, how about you?
Trapping through the snow. Talk about holiday season, man. I'm feeling great, man. You know, family's all in town for the holidays. It's good just to be in the spirit. We got Boxing Day coming up in a couple of days as well, so football will be very, very, very on our minds, as it always is. But, you know, a lot of stuff going on in the football world. Before we talk about the Prem, I just want to talk about La Liga for a little bit, because we don't usually talk about La Liga, but we talk about the highlights. And Atletico Madrid just played Barcelona yesterday. Atleti won 2-1, which actually jumps them to the top of the Premier League table right now. They are in first place, Real Madrid in second place, and then Barcelona in third place. And, you know, it's been a minute since La Liga has been competitive. You know, we know the three big teams, obviously, in La Liga with the three up top. But, you know, even with Madrid having their injury problems, they were still in first place for a very long time. Even with Barca's resurgence, they still have been trying to stay up top. You know, we talk about Yamal a lot, but we haven't really talked about Atleti. You know, we got to give it out to Julian Alvarez. He went over there and he had a rough start, not going to lie, but he's been balling ever since. You know, he's scoring. Griezmann has been playing at a very, very high level in Champions League and in La Liga. So we got to give it up to Atleti right now. They beat Barca 2-1 yesterday. I don't know if you guys have been paying much attention to La Liga, but from what you have seen, talk about it a little bit. You know, do we see a clear front runner, or do we think it's going to be one of those years where it's going to come down to the finish?
It'll come down to the finish. I think it's, I mean, it's tight right now, but I think it's one of those that I feel like it's like how last year, how it was like a three-legged race for majority of the season with the EPL. With Liverpool, Arsenal, City, I think La Liga, this is their year. I think like Barca, Madrid, and Atletico Madrid will probably be very, very close until I think maybe one team will drop off. I don't know who. I honestly can't tell you what team will drop off, but I think one team will drop off come week like 30 to 33. Someone's going to, you know, drop a couple points, and then they'll kind of get off it, and it'll be a two-horse race. But yeah, no, I think it's one of those exciting years in La Liga where it's not just a clear front runner. It's a three-legged race right now. So yeah, no, it's a definitely exciting year. And also, it's crazy because Atletico Madrid and Real Madrid are both have a game in hand on Barcelona right now as well too. So that's definitely interesting because, technically, you know, they could go. I think it's if Atletico Madrid win their game in hand, they'll go. I think it's what, 5 points above Barcelona, mm-hmm. or they'll go 6 points above Barcelona actually. So, yeah, that'll be really, really interesting. So they could definitely pull away a little bit, but you know, I think it's a good year in La Liga. You know, it's even dope to see it. Athletic Club in there. What their old name? Their old name was I can't remember.
Bilbao.
Yeah, Atletico Bilbao. It's good to see them up there. We haven't seen them be competitive in the league for years now in their top four. Mm-hmm. You know, still a couple matches away from, you know, the top three. But still, it's dope to see. You know, it's cool to see teams in La Liga. I feel like, you know, over there, there are teams that can get a good a year or two of a good run, like Girona. Girona last year, they had a really good run. Even Las Palmas, they came into the league 2-3 years ago from the second division.
Division
and came in and you know, wreaked havoc. There have been teams being
They got a European spot, I believe. I think they were top seven, top six.
Yeah, and they've gotten players handpicked from their team too. So it's kind of dope to see, you know, the player or the teams that have kind of risen to the ranks over the years with them. But you know, dope to see La Liga in this space. It's been a long time since they've been in this space. So
yeah, to Gabriel's point, I think the race is really wide open. Simply because, I mean, starting with Atletico, they've been doing well. They've been really consistent, man. Definitely one of my, obviously, you know, Barca and Real Madrid are going to get all the, you know, the headlines and all that, but this is a pretty consistent team, man. You got to give Simeone credit. Obviously, we know them for being defensively sound, but even scoring wise, man, like last year, what they had Memphis on this team, he was doing well. Griezmann's still doing well. To your point, Cornelius, Julian Alvarez is here, is doing well. And then the dude from Norway,
Sorloth.
I mean, he's doing well as well, too. So when you put in consideration how well they're doing, and then, you know, Real Madrid, I feel like, are kind of in limbo right now in the sense of they haven't really found they haven't just really clicked yet with, you know, the big addition on their team. And then Barca, I feel like, are always in the mix. But again, you know, I would say up until 2 weeks ago, they looked like the best team. And then, you know, you start dropping points here and there. And yeah, we'll see how it finishes out. But shout out to Atletico.
Yeah, I mean, they've had a pretty good season so far. I still believe it is Real Madrid's, you know, league to lose, in my opinion. I think Mbappe is starting to pick up. And as the season goes on, they're going to be getting Alaba back. So even though they don't have Militao, I think the defense is going to get strengthened a little bit with Alaba coming back. You know, still missing Carvajal, but overall, I think Real Madrid still is the team to beat in La Liga. I think they have the strongest attack, strongest. And defense is a little shaky, but I'll still them over Atletico's defense, but you have to give credit when it's due. Atletico has done so well so far, so who knows if they keep it up, they can do it. We've seen them do it before. It's been what, almost a decade? Yeah, it's been about a decade now. Yeah, I think they can do it again, but it's still Real Madrid's to lose.
No, yeah, I agree. No, go ahead, Gabriel.
Oh, sorry. The last thing I really just want to say is I just think it's crazy just looking at the table again. Bro, they have one of the best goal differentials. And they haven't even scored that many goals. It's just shout out to their defense, man. Simeone, bro. They're so defensively sound. Like, they've only scored 33 goals this season, which is insane. You know, you have Madrid that scored 40 plus. You've had Barca. I think it's Barca scored 50 plus, and Madrid scored 40 plus. Barca scored 50 plus goals. Madrid scores 40 plus goals, and they're sitting on 33, but plus 21 goal differential, which is pretty good as well on top of the table. So, yeah, man, one loss. I think, you know, that speaks volumes as well. Five draws. You know, I think that just speaks to how defensively sound they are in that. Simeone's always been as a manager, so you know, kudos to them, shout out to them, doing well.
Yeah, like I was saying, it's just interesting, like when you look, you know, almost halfway through we're at 19 matches in La Liga, we're halfway through their year, and when you look at the top four, it's very, very interesting. You know, 41 points Atleti, 40 points Madrid, 38 points Barcelona, so very tight race over there. Just, you know, Just as tight as the top four in the Prem, you know. And so when we look at that, we gotta look at it. You know, they're all also in Europe. They're doing well in their European campaigns as well. So, you know, that La Liga race is going to come down. I think it'll come down to the finish. And just like you said, Gabriel, that goal differential is going to be huge. Just like we keep talking about it in the Premier League, it's going to matter in La Liga as well. But yeah, just some fun stuff going on over there. Italy as well. We don't have enough time to talk about Italy today, but I do want to talk about Italy, you know, maybe in the next couple of episodes, because they got some fun stuff going over there as well. But to bring it to the Prem, you know, our bread and butter, we got to start off by talking about Man City, man. Before the episode, we were kind of talking about, is it a blip or is this serious? And for me, I think this is a serious issue now. I think for them, this is more than just a blip. And I know City is City, and I fully expect them to go and buy two or three players in January of substance. I think they know they're in crisis mode right now. I mean, everyone's talking about Pep and how he just can't understand why he just can't figure it out right now. You know, everyone's saying Pep is in his own head. He's kind of the one that is in crisis mode for real. You know what I'm saying? So for me, I think they're going to go buy two or three players, but it's evident, man, when you don't have Kevin De Bruyne in your midfield, your team is dead. Like, your team just loses its identity, bro. Like, it's clear. We talked about this last year when he was injured. Seriously, we did. We talked about this the last couple of years, bro. Like, when Kevin De Bruyne is not there, the team is just different. And for me, City's just going to have to learn to live in a future without Kevin. They need to go get somebody that can fill a role, because right now they just look so lost, bro. They look lost. I mean, we can talk about their last 12 games, just like everybody in the media is talking about. But realistically, we've been saying this for a while. Without Kevin, they look lost. And so for me, you know, your best player, Erling Haaland, can't get more than 10 touches in a match. So how are you expecting to win games? Seriously, like when you look at it, if your best player isn't touching the ball, how do you expect to win games? You got Phil Foden trying his very best, and he could barely get goals now. You know, because
what is first because, in the season this week?
You know what I mean? Kevin isn't there. Like we talk about this a lot, the absence of Kevin De Bruyne. And then Rodri, you know, both of their central pieces are gone. So what are you going to do? And they haven't figured it out. So for me, I think they're going to go buy people in January. But how do y'all feel about City? And do you think this is crisis mode, or do you think this is just a blip? Because
yeah,
we're here now.
I mean, it's so I sent a text in the group. I wonder when the last time they lost 9 games. And it was, what, the 15-16 season. And they've already lost 9 games this season. And to me, this is definitely not a blip. I was thinking of a different, you know, perspective on this whole City thing this past weekend when we were watching the games. And, bro, do you think the league has just caught up to them in terms of the talent level on these teams? Because if you look at this City team, they haven't changed much. Yeah, they brought in a couple of guys, you know, Kovacic, they brought in Savinho, Doku, and Matheus Nunes. You know, these are not premier guys. These are not guys that we would say, you know, world-class talent, except for Kovacic. All these guys are, you know, guys that are still proving themselves. And Doku hasn't really cut it. Savinho hasn't really cut it for them. And if you look at the talent around the league, everybody's improved in some way, shape, or form. I mean, even if you look at the normal Villas, Forest teams, even Chelsea, Arsenal even, Liverpool, there have been some type of, you know, added talent that has closed the gap with City. So, yes, they might be losing Kevin. They might be losing Rodri. I also think the talent level has caught up to them. And teams can actually compete with them because, you know, these injuries are also helping teams, because it's the talent level, obviously, you know, competition-wise, is at the same level. So now teams can hang with them. And I think that could possibly be, you know, one of the reasons why they look so normal. They look just like any other Prem team, you know? That's my perspective.
To Mike's point, I think it definitely could be a little bit of both. You got to give credit to the league. The league is in a really good place right now. It's very competitive. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, man. Their best player isn't there, and that's Rodri, mm-hmm. in my opinion. And I, you know, especially in the middle of the field, when I'm looking at, especially, you know, with the way that they want to play, they're a possession-based team. You know, he's their conductor. He's the orchestrator. I know Kevin is essentially the one that you know, facilitates things in the attacking third. But even when he's been there, I feel like it's not, they're not built to play in transition. And unfortunately, with the absence of their best midfielder, that's just what they're forced to, that's what they're forced to do. And quite frankly, Haaland, like Kerry said, either last week or the week before, he's a passenger unless he's in the box. Like, he's not going to give you anything else. You know what I'm saying? And one of the best goal scorers in the in Europe, 100%, but he's not going to help you in the build-up. He's not going to really help you defensively. He needs to be, you know, provided with service in the box. And if he's not getting that, then, you know, what is he really giving you? And then, like I said, the midfield is also an issue. Gundogan is aging. I thought him coming back was going to be like a big boost, but he's, I don't know, bro. Like, he's really just, he's aged.
I saw somebody on Twitter say Gundogan is a perfect example why you don't go back with your ex.
Hey, I mean, I was weak.
Man.
I mean, it's tough, man. It's tough. And then, I mean, you look at their back and in the back too. I just feel like they're, I don't know, just with the keeper.
Yeah, they can't find the combination. You're right.
Bro, I think that they got a lot of average players. You know what I'm saying? I think they look good because, again, before, in seasons before, they had the ball. So you're not really, you know what I'm saying? Ederson's also a big loss, though, too. I know he's been kind of, you know, goofing off a little bit in the back. But, I mean, Ortega, no disrespect, but Ortega, Akanji, Vardiol, I mean, great. He scores a bunch of goals. Great. That's what's up.
No, we're not going to do that because Vardiol is a good defender. We're not going to do that.
I disagree. He's not defending, though, Cornelius. Do you remember when we beat them last week? He was trying to clear the ball. Off hey, it was a mistake. I get it. You got megged when the ball's literally rolling at you. But again, I mean, we got to call it like we see it. This is an aging squad. Quite frankly, they haven't really addressed the issue to continuously compete. And I mean, honestly, this will be the last thing I say. I just think that the loss to Aston Villa is like, I don't want to say the changing of the guard, but kind of to Mike's point, it's like, okay, we've caught up now. Like, you're not just going to possess the ball for 87 minutes of the 90 minutes. And no, like, we're going to, you can't really keep up with us.
Guys can play with you.
It's crazy because I'm actually going to go on the opposite side of the spectrum. I don't believe it yet. And maybe this is just my PTSD talking. I'm being completely honest. I'm just being so serious. Maybe it's my PTSD talking, but I don't believe it quite yet. I do agree with what you guys have said in terms of this team hasn't really brought anyone in to move the needle. Coming in, we thought he was going to move the needle. He hasn't. They're missing Rodri. De Bruyne is not healthy. He's also not starting. Phil Foden has been fooling. He scored his first Prem goal this weekend, so congrats to him.
It's wild. What, 18 games in?
He has two GA. 18? Yeah. He has two GA in the league, which is crazy. But, you know, Haaland, I mean, he's still one of the top goal scorers, but hasn't done anything in the past 10 games. So, you know, it's I agree that they have to bring in players. And they haven't brought in anyone in a long time that's really moved. Like, I feel like the last person that they really brought in that moved the needle, not even moved the needle, honestly. I don't think he moved the needle. I feel like the last player they brought in was Grealish, if I'm being completely honest. I feel like that's the last big player that they brought in that was like, oh, he actually might. And he hasn't even really panned out how we thought he would pan out in City. You know what I mean? So I feel like this team definitely needs a revamp. They need... It sounds crazy, but they need to. And I want to call it a rebuild, but they need a better supporting cast. They need better players in the squad. Every team has invested year after year, and yes, they've been winning year after year. But you still have to invest to stay, you know, relevant, consistent, to stay high. Just high in everything that you do. And they haven't done that over the past couple of years, past couple of transfer windows, so they've been good and they've been healthy as well. So, you know, it is what it is. But, yeah, this City team defensively, man, just looking at the Villa game, like, Villa could have scored in the first 10 seconds, bro. 20 seconds. Yeah. And it's like, when have we ever seen a City team like this? Like, I've just threw balls just left and right, bro. Just piercing their back line, bro. It's crazy. Yeah.
Players some goals got called back too.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, Ortega made a crazy save on a header as well. Like, it was this close to being a goal. You know what I mean? So
that was a good save.
It was a great save. Great save. And I think Ortega should be starting somewhere. That's just my personal opinion. But no, I definitely agree with a lot of things that you guys have said, but like I said, maybe this is my PTSD talking, but I still don't believe it. And I don't believe it solely because De Bruyne didn't play, or they don't have Rodri, they are mad injured. But then also they're playing the teams that they're playing in this moment are it's not in their favor. You know what I mean? They're not easy matches that they're going and playing. It's like Villa at Villa is not an easy match. Trust me, I've been through it. I know it. You know what I mean? It's not an easy match. United City rivalry match. You know, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. Crystal Palace has had their number for the past couple years. I don't know what Crystal Palace is doing, but they've been able they've been able to do something. They beat Nottingham Forest. Great. They played Liverpool, best team in the league. They lost. Spurs have, I don't know why, but they also have their number. They lost. Brighton was balling when they played them. They lost. So it's like, I don't want to sit here and that's partially why I don't believe it, because they've been playing the right teams at the wrong time.
But to your point, and to, you know, everyone's earlier point, the league is getting stronger, bro. When you look at the table and you say Brighton, oh, they were in form, but Brighton's been in form for the last 2-3 years.
Yeah, but
when
you look at
but you can't look at the table and hold that as weight, because the difference between 10th place and 5th place is just 3 points. You know what I mean? Yeah. It is. So that's why I'm saying looking at the table can kind of like skew your thinking to say, oh, they're playing a ninth place Bournemouth or a seventh place Fulham. Like that only matters in the sense of that team is there on the table, but they're still only 3 points away from the team they're playing.
And I hear that, but for me, it's like, I know I do hear that, and
because yes, I mean because we could talk can. About we could talk about any team in the league. We could talk about our teams. not to talk about Chelsea, but we just lost to Everton, or we just drew Everton. You know what I mean? And we've been running, but at the end of the day, the league still has some sort of parity where you can't just look on the table now and say, oh, they lost to a team that they should have beat. Because at this point in the league, for me, there are no more easy matches. If you look at the table and you look at where teams are, there are no more easy matches. If you look at how teams have played they're the Ipswiches, they're the Wolves, if we're looking at the bottom five teams on the table. But besides the bottom five teams, I think anybody can really like give anybody a match, and we've seen it for me. So I do agree with you, and I'm more on Gabriel's side. I'm still erring with caution when it comes to City, because it's still City. And like I said, I still think they go by 2-3 players in January. And then now we look at January, February, and it might be a different team. But for me, I just wanted to pose a question, because we haven't seen this in a decade. Like Mike said, we haven't seen this since the 15-16 season. So it's new.
I don't see them buying anybody in January. I don't.
They have to, Salam. They have to.
I know they have to. Like it's not even just 2 or 3. You could probably benefit from 4 or 5. But
yeah, like, not for real.
But it's just, I just think that they're in a very weird, and it's just so confusing though, because Pep just signed a year extension, and
2 years.
Obviously, the
but they have the cases looming in the background.
They have the case looming in their background, and it's just like I don't know, man. I don't. The right thing to do would be like, let's keep this together. Let's get 4 or 5 players or 2 or 3 players, but. I don't know. I really think that they're just gonna rock out with what they got.
They better buy some players for this band hit. They getting some, bro. You feel me? So like you said, you know, I still don't believe it, because like honestly, if I'm not gonna believe it until they drop points against, like, who they play next? Everton?
Yeah.
They play Everton on Boxing Day. Like, if they drop points at home against Everton, bro, then I'll be like, nah. This is an issue. Like, you, Pep, go do another 5 hours or 24 hours alone, bro. Like, matter of fact, do it, take a week, fam, because this is serious. Like, they play Everton and they play, my fault, Salon, but they play Everton and they play Leicester. They play Everton at home and then they play Leicester 3 days later. If they drop points to those two teams, bro, then I'm looking at them.
Yeah.
All right. But for me, I still think it's a case of they've been playing the right teams at the wrong times, or the wrong teams at the right times. You know what I mean? And those teams have been, you know, in form and they've been doing well and they've done their thing. But these two matches for me are like, all right, you see Everton, you see Leicester. These are two teams that – Everton's actually been on the up and up. I know we talked about a lot of them a lot earlier in the season. They've been on the up and up a little bit. But Leicester is also one of those teams that's just, you know, you should be able to beat these two teams with flying colors. If you're struggling to get points against them or you drop points against them and you even go further down on the table, all right, now I'm looking at you like, yeah, you really have an issue, bro. Like, right after that Leicester match, literally January 1, bro, go in the market and put in bids because you need players.
So if they don't, because, like, I feel like for us, right, it's just like, just go buy the reinforcements, right? Just bring the reinforcements in here. That seems to be the more, like, just the logical or the easy thing to do, right? Considering where they are at as a team, what they've won and all that. So do you think if they don't buy anybody in January, if they don't bring anyone in January, do you think there's any correlation to that and the 115 plus charges that's hanging over them?
1,000%. I think if they don't get anybody, that means they know.
They know.
I wouldn't necessarily say that. I think if they don't bring anybody in, it's because right now, if you look around, who are they going to go get?
No, bro. There's always somebody to go get. So I hate that notion because it's like, oh, if we don't get a five-star player and elite, no, you just need to go get somebody to fill a role.
I understand that.
You need to go get bodies because clearly the players you have aren't cutting it. So if you can go get somebody that on paper doesn't look like they're the best player in the world or they're world class or. No, City just needs players who are used to like I look at players like, so for us, for example, I look at players like Dewsbury Hall, which he isn't getting a lot of time, right? But we know he's here to play a specific role. I'm looking at players like Joao Felix, like Pedro Neto. Yes, these are good names on paper, but they weren't, you know, finding their favor wherever they were. But we know they can go fill a role if we plug them in. A Jadon Sancho. Yeah, he used to be world-class, but then he had, you know, his issues at United, and then he comes to a new place, and he's still not starting, but he's filling a role. They just need to go find players.
But that's the
There's
thing.
There's a lot of these type players.
This is a different team we're talking about. This is a different coach we're talking about. This coach is known. He's not known for just buying a guy and plucking him in. It doesn't happen often with this guy. That's what I'm saying. If they're going to go get somebody, you're going to go need to go get somebody that when you bring in, you're not going to need time to, you know, get them going. Guys that can come in and actually put in a shift for you right away. Kind of give you something similar to what either Rodri or KDB was giving you. If you can't, who exactly on the market is unhappy right now and would want to leave your situation in January to move over to City? I might be wrong, but I think that's always a period. I feel
Rashford.
Like if you look at Rashford could be a good addition, but if you look at their wingers right now, everybody's struggling. I don't think adding another struggling winger is going to fix that situation. That's what I'm saying.
I've seen rumors about Kolo Muani wanting to leave PSG.
Kevin De Bruyne or Rodri.
He wouldn't fit though.
I know he wouldn't fit. I don't.
He would need a year to figure it out.
They need midfielders, bro. Like you need midfielders and wingers. Like they need defenders too, bro. Like this. I'm sorry, man. This Rico Lewis experiment has ended for me a long time ago. has ended for me. Like him and Vernon, bro, is not been hitting recently. You know what I mean? Kyle Walker, bro. I listen, bro. I think you're it's a time. Legend. You know, legend in the game.
It's
bro, your time is coming. It's come. It's not even coming. It's come now. This is the time. This is the time. You know, they need defenders. Like, it's just that simple. Because the way I've never seen a City team just get broken down so easily. Just one pass through the midfield. Boom. Player in. What? Yeah.
Gabriel, to your point, there was a pass I saw from Duran was offsides. But Konsa hit the through ball, and I was like, and he wow.
scored. It was the offsides where he scored. Yeah. And
you. Yeah. But then you're right. Tielemans had one too, and I'm like, oh, man, you guys are just.
Bro, the first minute they got broken down and played. Yeah. Like, what? We've never seen this. You know what I mean? This is uncharted territory for all of us. I mean, all of us. Like I said, the past 10 years, we haven't seen this. So, you know, I have to say I'm still very wary to believe it, but.
Let me ask you this before we get into our teams. Let me ask you this though. So I wanted to, obviously Duran has been having a fantastic season. Definitely one of the bright stories of the Premier League so far in Europe. I mean, he's doing it in Champions League. Mm-hmm. So let me ask you, is John Duran better than these players? I'm going to list a few players and then there's someone at the end that I really want you guys to, well, we'll see. So the first player is Dominic Solanke.
Wow.
He's better than Solanke.
I don't know, bro.
Shout out my guy, man.
I think he is.
I don't know, man.
Because when you look at Solanke, I mean, he's been on top teams. He started at Chelsea, but he couldn't find favor there. He went to Bournemouth, and now he's finally at Spurs. It took him a while to start netting goals like at a consistent level. John Duran, he's young, man. We're talking about it. Yeah, that's crazy, nice. But maybe, I think he's better.
Maybe I shouldn't. I'll give Duran the
that's nod, actually a very good start.
Yeah. I'm struggling, bro. I can't go either way.
I gotta give him the edge. It's close.
He plays for Spurs, sure. I will give Duran the edge.
Okay. Wissa from Brentford.
Jesus.
Wow. Okay. So then I'm worried about the last.
I like Wissa on this one. I like Wissa on this one.
I think Wissa's better.
I like Wissa on this one.
Wissa is like very consistent.
Wow, these are some good ones, Salam.
All right. I agree. Wissa for that one.
Yeah, I'll take Wissa.
Shout out to my African brother, but I'm going Duran. Dominic Calvert-Lewin.
Yes.
Oh yeah, Duran.
The best ability is availability.
Is that simple?
Last few. Kai Havertz.
No.
Yeah.
Actually,
he's better than Kai Havertz.
Yeah,
as a striker for sure.
As a striker, for sure.
He's
a football player. I think Kai Havertz might have some technical.
Yeah, Kai is a better football
striker. As a pure nine, yes, 100%.
As a pure nine, yeah. Duran by a mile.
Gabriel Jesus too.
No, I don't think he's better than Jesus.
See, Jesus is such an odd player.
As a striker, no, I don't think he is. As much as we dog Jesus, I think he's a better striker.
I'm rocking with you, Cornelius. I feel like I can't say yeah because I said Duran.
That's where I'm at.
The other people, because I think Wissa is better than Jesus, but I think Duran's better than
Wissa.
I think he could be right there.
That's interesting. With Jesus. That's interesting.
But Jesus is like techie, bro. He's techie.
Yeah, I gotta give Jesus. I gotta give him. I gotta give him.
I'll go with Jesus over Durant.
Even though he doesn't score as consistently, I'm still going to go Jesus.
That's my
idea. I think Jesus in the system, you know, curated for him. Yeah, I think he bangs.
Okay, last few. Well, Rasmus Højlund slash Josh Pazurkski.
Yes,
come on.
I'll go Durant. I like a lot of attributes Højlund has, but I'll go Durant.
Okay, Nicholas Jackson.
I'll go Nico.
Okay, but it's not far.
No, it's not far.
My issue with this whole Durant thing is like, anyway, we'll speak to the end. Go ahead.
Okay.
No, go finish. I have one more. All right.
I have a few more. Luis Diaz slash.
No. Gakpo.
He's better than Gakpo
over Durant. Gakpo over Durant. You guys are tripping.
No, actually, you're right, Mike.
Gakpo.
I don't think he's better than. I don't think he's better than any of the Liverpool strikers except Darwin. But
yeah, I'd agree.
Okay, are you considering
what's his name?
Yoto?
No, the one you just named, that Colombian. I forgot his name.
Luis Diaz.
Diaz. Are you considering him as a striker?
Yeah, I just feel like he's been playing strikers this year. That's where he played today. He just, you know, because Gakpo's really been playing, especially with Jota out. Like, he has to play there. But
he's not bad.
Last two.
He's right there with Diaz. But he's definitely better than Nunes.
So, yeah. Darwin. Yeah. Alexander Isak?
No.
What? No.
Absolutely not.
Different class.
Yeah.
And the last one, I wanted to save this for last. Ollie Watkins.
I knew you were going to say Ollie Watkins, bro. I just knew you were because you messed
with me. OW.
And this goes to my point, and I'm gonna say no for this too. My whole issue with Durant, not even just Durant, I like Durant as a player, I have no issue with him, but my whole issue around this, like, comparing is that this man does not start, bro. It's a different mindset. It's a different type of motion. When you come into a match, fresh legs, 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. I need a solid 30, 35 minutes from you to go grab a goal. I want you to be expressive. I want you to go do what you want in 30 minutes. That's different when you're starting match in, match out. You're playing 90s this Sunday. Then you're playing another 90 on Wednesday, Thursday. Like, that is where I'm just like, what he's doing is amazing, honestly. He's the best 12th man in the world right now. He comes in consistently and gives you goals, assists. He wreaks havoc every time he comes up to the pitch. But can you do this 38 matches out the season? When you're playing three matches in 7-8 days? Can you keep up these same performances? And that's where I struggle with him, where it's like, bro, you're coming in fresh legs against a guy who's been maybe played 90 or 110 minutes 3 days before and playing 90 right now. You're coming in fresh legs. You might have not played at all the match before, maybe played 30 minutes, trained, did this on the third, vibes, and then next you're playing 30 minutes again. Like, that's a whole – bro, it's different. No, like, for real, it's different. You know?
This has to be real, man.
So that's why I struggle, bro. This is why I really struggle with this whole conversation, because I want to see him. And this is why, this is like the biggest question in the world. It's like, whatever club he goes to next, right? Because I doubt that he's going to stay at Villa for much longer with just playing the minutes that he is. So he's going to get picked up, or someone's going to, you know, call his line. When he goes to that next club, are we going to see these same performances week in, week out? And if we do, some of these players I said no with. All right, yeah, Durant, yes. But we haven't seen it, and we haven't had the chance to see it. He's starting now. He's been starting a little bit more. He started this week. You know, he's been starting a little bit more as of recent, and he's been still doing his thing. But it's still new. You know what I mean? It's good when you're popping, but what happens when, you know, you're 3 weeks in a match, you have to go play FA Cup, then, you know, you have to go play a prem game during the weekend. What do your legs look like? Pause. Like, what are your legs heavy? Are you, you feel me? Like, no, I'm so serious. Like,
nah, Gabriel, nah, you're spinning right now. You're, I can't even add anything to it.
So, like, some of these players, 100%, I think he is better than some of the players that you named. But some of these players, like you said, Solanke, Wisa, right? These are players that we've seen do it for seasons. And whether you want to say it or not, we saw Solanke go and put in shifts week in, week out at Bournemouth. We saw Wisa go in week in, week out. Ivan Toney for a year, balling. We've seen it. I've been able to witness it with my own two eyes. So I haven't seen Duran do that.
And let me ask you two more. These guys are outside of the Prem, and then we can move on. Because I do feel like he's in that class of, like, the new wave of strikers. So, Guirassy from Dortmund.
I don't know.
Guirassy for sure. Guirassy's played as the number.
Guirassy's
Guirassy's nice. I like Guirassy. Shout out to Guirassy for knocking Ethiopia out of that.
I'm not going. I really like it. Scored four penalties on us, bro.
Yeah. And then the last one was the guy we were talking about from Norway with Atletico Madrid's
Sørloth. Yeah.
Nah. See, that is one of those.
He's not better than Sørloth. Well, is he better than? I don't know, but right now I'll pick Sørloth over Duran.
Would you take Sesko over him?
Yes, it takes us over.
Benny.
I mean, I want to say though, the one thing Gabriel said that I really, man, I think you hit, you know, it was the right point, is having that responsibility as the number one striker is different from being the guy that, you know, I agree with that. That is such a good point. When you have that responsibility as the number one striker, we're pretty much looking at you for the goals
every week.
Right now he's like a luxury that they have, that hey, we can throw this guy on and we know he will probably give us something. But when that role changes and you're the man now, okay, we're looking at you alone to really have majority of our goals, how does he handle it? And we haven't seen that yet. So
come on. He doesn't have any
expectations right now. No expectations. When those expectations come, when we talk about all the time, Enzo, 100 mil, this player, 100 mil, price tags, this and third. He's going to have a price tag whenever he goes, and that's going to come with weight, and then that price tag is also going to come with expectations. Bro, we put 60, 70, whatever million towards you. We expect now that you're going to come here. We gave you this big salary. We expect you to do the same things you're just doing. Now, if he doesn't do it, then we'll see his true colors. You know what I mean? So if he does, then we'll see his true colors there too. So those are good ones. Yeah.
That was a good segment. I actually really like that. And I mean, we just spent 20 minutes on City, which I wanted to anyway, like, because I'm glad it started with City, but I wanted to talk about
Someone has to.
Because I wanted to talk about Villa. Like, I'm glad that we also move the conversation to talk about Villa, because they've been doing well, man. And I talked about it in my recap a few weeks ago. I said, look, if Villa doesn't figure it out, they're going to be one of those teams that just falls by the wayside. And since then, they've started to pick it back up. You know, if you look at their last 3-4 matches, they're starting to understand where the table is and where they are as a club in the Prem. Like Villa is, like, whether we want to say it or not, Villa is a Premier League club. Like, when we think of the Prem, Villa is there. And I think with Unai Emery, they're starting to understand the weight of the badge a little bit. So, you know, this year is very, very interesting, because we're seeing a lot of teams start to, you know, make their name in the Prem. So I wanted to talk about Liverpool a little bit, but, let's get into our teams. And if we have some time at the end, we can touch on the Liverpool-Tottenham match. But, you know, as tradition goes, losers have to go first. And, you know, we were talking about Bournemouth earlier, you know, Mr. Solanke. Seems like he left that team in a good spot, because I don't know, man. Salam, I didn't see the match, but I was watching highlights a little bit earlier today. And I'm going to tell you the same thing I've been telling you for the last couple of weeks, bro. You got to expect more out of your captain, Bruno Fernandes, man. Two or three chances in the first half before, while the score was still 0-0, while the score was still 0-0, he had a few chances to put, and it's like, bro, put the ball on frame. Bro, how are you not scoring some of these half chances, some of these more than half chances? You're in the box. You have a time to touch, settle. And I told you this last week, that penalty goal he scored against City, it's not saving you. I'm looking at you, Bruno. I see you for who you are, bro. I'm looking at you. I'm trying to tell you, I'm watching him because his manager is Portuguese. So I know they're speaking Portuguese to each other on the pitch in training. I know they have that camaraderie. And somehow, some way, he's still not translating that. Like, bro, I really, like, and I don't want it to seem like I'm dogging Bruno, because that's not what this is. But I've been saying it from the beginning of the year, bro. You got to hold your captain to a higher standard, because this is Manchester United. And for me, you guys aren't playing like that. Even with this new manager, I said, don't believe the hype, bro. And I know you said it as well. I know you've been critical of Bruno as a fan. But me, as an outsider looking in, I'm seeing it for what it is now. And it's not great. It's not great, bro. If your captain needs 17 chances to score a goal, then we have some major major issues. I'm not even talking about Bournemouth, because they played a great match, but you guys were at home and you got peppered at home, bro,
in your own ends.
That's not good, bro.
Cornelius, he had, to your point,
he had so many chances,
bro. He had,
I'm looking at,
he had
like,
three shots on target. On target. The first one was from outside of the box. It was, I didn't really think that was going to go anywhere. But then the other two, it's like, I mean, you know, you give three chances on target for someone else, I don't know. I'm thinking that maybe you make at least
Durant. One.
You know, Durant's making at least two.
It's Durant.
Nah, but I just think, bro, like, I think, just more growing pains with going through this transition. It's unfortunate that, you know, after a week where we beat Man City, you know, we're on this high, we have all this positivity, go and drop a game to Tottenham, a very poor Tottenham team. I picked Liverpool as my lock of the week, and it hit because I was very confident that the back line of Spurs just, quite frankly, wasn't just good enough. And the only reason why we're out of the Carabao Cup and we made that game closer than it needed to be was because of the mistakes from our goalkeeper. And unfortunately, now we're out of Carabao Cup, just because it just seems week to week. I mean, I said this before a couple weeks ago. I don't expect perfection. I know, I understand that mistakes are going to happen, right? Mistakes are a part of life. But my God, it's like every game, it's like we have to spot the other team at least a goal, you know? So obviously midweek was bad. And then when you look at the game today, I just think that it's just – and it's so tough, man, you know? Rashford's out of the team. You can't blame Rashford.
You know, it's speaking not of that. Rashford. Speak on that. How do you feel about that?
I'm glad he came out, because I was gonna save it for the end. I wanted us to get some.
We'll save it for the end. We'll save it for the end. As far as the game, I'll keep it brief. I just think that this is more growing pains underneath this manager, man. What's obvious to me is that, and hopefully, and I think it's obvious to him as well too, we are terrible on set pieces.
Jesus.
If you have a set piece on us, you're probably gonna score. So. You know, like, it just, we have to get better there. On the first goal, Xerxes completely missed the guy. Like, he wasn't close. Like, it was as if he was trying to head the ball. And I'm not trying to pin this on him, but it's like, you're watching that goal back, and it's like, that's one that easily could have been avoidable. The second goal was a penalty. Mazzarri, to me, has been one of our best players. I actually think the past few weeks, he's kind of fallen off in terms of just where his level was, and I think that's just due to fatigue. I mean, he's had to play every game for us. So it was an unfortunate mistake on his part. And then the third goal, is really where if I were to look at Amarum and be like, I kind of don't understand what the thinking was that I think we completely fell apart when Ugarte got subbed off. Ugarte is, if you're not going to play Casemiro, Ugarte is our only six. He's the only six that we have in the team. So to take him off at the 54th minute, I don't know if he was hurt or not. I'm not quite sure what's going on there. But midweek on Thursday, you got subbed off at the 70th minute. So, which was fine. I feel like at that point, it's like, let's not, you know, waste his legs here. Let's save him for the weekend. And then you get subbed off at the 54th minute. He wasn't playing bad, I would say. Like, he's the, again, the only one of our midfielders that actually has that defensive, you know, ability to win the ball back, initiate offense, or at least pass it to someone else who can initiate the offense. But for him to sub him off and then for you to put Bruno there, I just felt like it was so bad. It was just a poor showing. And on the third goal, you watch it back. It's like Bruno gets beat. He's trying to run back. Maguire goes over. Euro goes over. And it's like, and again, like, I just don't understand, like, the concept of if we're all playing on the same team, and if Cornelius, if you're a center midfielder, and if you leave your spot, like, between me, Mike, and Gabriel, one of us have to be like, yo, we have to pick up the person, especially if we're defending our box. Like, we have to talk about, yo, he just left his mark. Someone needs to pull over.
Stay.
Can't we mark the guy? Someone needs to stay and mark the guy that you're leaving, because you're leaving because ultimately we're beat. Someone else got beat. But, you know, it's just, it's tough, man. So when you take him off and then you put Bruno back in the midfield, between him and between Bruno and Kobe, you're not going to get much defensive you know, presence there. So, like I said last week, our 10s have to be Ahmad and Kobe. Kobe Mainoo, I love him. He's a talented player. He cannot play in the middle of the field. He does not have the legs to do that. He's better in the attacking third, finishing off whatever chances that we have. But, nah, man, I mean, poor showing from the team. I don't think that this is going to be the last time that it does it. But to be very honest with you, as long as we don't get relegated, I'm not really too worried about it, just because I just think that I have so much confidence in the manager that, you know, he's seeing the shit that we're saying. So, like, I don't think that, you know, we're clearly trying to play a certain way, his way, and he's seeing that there's certain people that, quite frankly, they don't have what I need for that said position. So, as far as Marcus Rashford goes, it's very unfortunate that it had to end. Or, yeah, I mean, it had to end, because, quite frankly, I don't see him playing for us ever again. It's unfortunate that an academy kid who is from the area, goes through the academy, great story, gets into the first team, you score on your debut versus Arsenal, you scored against Man City, and it's like, you look at kind of what has happened since from when he started to where he is now.
It's been 10 years.
It's been 10 years, man. And like I said, it's been a great story, but I just think that, you know, from a PR standpoint, I think he did what he had to do in terms of, I guess, getting his piece out, because obviously a player of his stature, you know, for him to get dropped in a Manchester derby, you know what I'm saying? Like, is a big deal. And obviously people are going to talk about it because of who you are, because of who we are as a club. But, you know, because any other player, any other situation, players get dropped all the time. Yeah. Why is it such a big deal? But it's a big deal because of who it is and where he's playing, which it's a part of it. But I think it's really sad, man. And I think that two things that I want to say. I'm obviously sad that he's going to go. I think it's right for both parties. I really think from his back injury that he had when Ole was here really set him back, because physically he just hasn't really been the same player. He was known for being, you know, having all this pace and having all this. And quite frankly, he's lost a step in that department. But then the second thing is, and my last thing is just, I think Rashford is on a long list of people that, quite frankly, for whatever reason, was mismanaged when he was here at United. You can pinpoint it to a few other things. I know me, I always talk about the ownership. You guys give me a lot of shit for it, but I really think that Amorim is really going to take us forward. And I think that when you look at players like Rashford, these were all part of the sacrifice. These were all people that were here during the Glazers era. This was the – it's not even just him. Think about Pogba, too. Like, it's not – like, we had such a talented team. And it's just like he's on a long list of people that you were just here at the wrong time. You know, quite – and it's sad because I really think he's – in an attacking sense, I think he's our best talent to come from the academy. I think the best player to ever come from the academy in the modern era – is Paul Pogba, but our best attacker was Marcus Rashford. I would 100% swap out. If I could swap out Rashford then for Garnacho now, 100% I would do it. 100% I would do it. Because him then, if he was here now, it'd be a different story. The only player I think that was came close to him in terms of talent was Greenwood. And then, you know, Greenwood, what happened, happened. He left, but... No, I just think that hopefully when we look back down in a few years, and hopefully United is, you know, back competing and wherever I think they should be, I think we're just going to look back and be like, he was one of the casualties, unfortunately. He was at the wrong place at the wrong time, and then he was a part of a lot of bullshit, and it's just unfortunate that a youth player from the area kind of – this is how it ends.
I have a question for you. Go ahead, Gabriel. Go ahead.
This is just my one burning question. I've been thinking about this ever since you guys lost to Burnley 3-0. Are you ready to call this season a wash?
No. Because I think when you look at the season, I still think that even when you have bad seasons, maybe this is the coach and me talking. I still think that there are positives that we can take away 100%. From the season.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I think that at the end of the season, we can look back and be like, okay, X amount of players, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, they can't be here anymore. Like, they don't fit with what I got going on, so they can't be here. Additionally, we're still in two cups. And I think one of those cups is, I think, our best shot at getting into Champions League, because we're not making top four. We can't find the consistency to string two good performances together, let alone worry about, hey, we need to, you know, these next month of fixtures, like, we got to get maximum. Mm-hmm.
That actually leads me to my question. Do you think this team needs Europe next season? Do you think it would be beneficial to you guys if you're out of Europe next season?
Yeah, no, I mean, theoretically, right, you would think having one game a week would be good for the team. Like, the less amount of games, the better for the group. But, no, I think we do need to be in Europe. I think that the manager needs to see these players in different, like, circumstances. You know what I'm saying? Like, he needs to see them, whether it's in the Champions League or whether it's in Conference League or in Europa League. I want to see you at FC Astana when it's negative 16 degrees. I want to see that. Okay. You know what I'm saying? You really have to get to know these players in order to know what you have out the guys that you need to do. So, like, no, I don't think that, you know, this isn't a, you know, like, remember when Chelsea won with Conte? It was like that year you guys had a team. And then you guys being you weren't in Champions League that year, I believe.
Yeah,
and then,
no.
So you guys had the mentality of players to be like, no, we're going to lock in and we're really going to kill it in the league. Like, we don't have that. So, like, I think the more games we have, the better. I think that the more the manager gets to see these players in different circumstances will help him understand who he has. But, no, I think that we still have – like I said, I just don't want to get relegated. We can't get relegated. I think we're 5 points off from the person that's in the – the relegation place. No, I'm not being crazy, Gabriel. I mean, we lost 3-0 at home to Bournemouth today.
You're 10 points off the relegation zone, bro.
I was looking at Leicester. Leicester is 14. Sorry.
They're sitting on 14 points. But you're 10 points off the relegation zone. You don't need to be worried right now, bro.
Gabriel, you don't You don't know. You don't know. But yeah, man.
I do. Actually, if anyone knows, it's me. I was almost in the relegation.
That's so fair. That's fair.
No, I think it's not good. 2 years ago, we were flirting with it.
Yeah.
To the point where niggas thought we really, excuse me. To the point where people thought we actually were getting relegated. Like, we were on this podcast and y'all were looking at me and Mike like, "Are you that?" No. We were in 15th though. I ain't gonna hold you. We've all been there, so it's not one of those things that, you know.
Yeah, get into Europe. Get into Europe. Get into, if you can win Europa League, great. We're in the Champions League. If you can qualify for one of those Conference League spots, then let's do that too. If we can get an FA Cup, let's do that too. Because I think that now it's, when we won the FA Cup last year, I'll admit it. When we won the FA Cup last year, it was a surprise to me. Like, obviously, like, for any other, you know, circumstance, you would be like, oh, like, wow, this could be the start of something new. But yeah, obviously, us winning the FA Cup last year didn't mask the fact that we were a bad team. Yeah. Like, but, you know, I think that it could really help this group and help the manager. So I just, you know, I think we just got to take the cup seriously.
Okay. So you think getting into Europe should also be a target this season?
100%. I think that, I mean, as a team, I just feel like that's our strength, though. You know, we don't have that consistency. If we just have to play you in one game, and I think that we have a chance. But if it's like even the two-legged things, it's like it's a toss-up. But, you know, considering the caliber of teams, and no disrespect to what we're playing in Europa League, it's like, in spite of all of our problems, we should win these games.
I think that's a good place to end on United. I mean, growing pains, you know, new manager, it's going to take a while for everybody to buy in, and not for nothing, I don't think we see Rashford leave in January, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Oh, he's gone. Yeah. Bro, he's gone.
You think he's gone in January?
He's gone 100%. He has to go. You can't. Yeah. Bro, this is the second game, Cornelius, he's been dropped. When is Marcus Rashford? Remember, you were the one that said, Marcus Rashford has to play. Marcus Rashford has to play. He's your guy. He's the franchise. He's been dropped two games in a row.
You're right.
But he's moving done.
On. Yeah.
You move it on. That's crazy. It's really a new, really in the Amarim era.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. But to change gears a little bit, Chelsea, we were flying high until we ran into the good old boys from Everton.
From Goodison
Park. honestly, I didn't watch the match. Wasn't able to watch the match, but I did watch the highlights, and I don't know what happened, Mike. Like, I couldn't really tell from the highlights because, to me, it seemed like we were fighting for our lives the entire match. I mean, we were lucky to escape without getting scored on. To be honest,
yeah.
Shout out to Robert Sanchez. So I think he had his best game I've ever seen in goal. Just based off the highlights. I mean, he made some ridiculous saves, foot saves. You know, like it was the best match I've ever seen from him, and I didn't even watch the whole thing. But, I think it's good for us at the end of the day to take a reality check, because I think we were flying high, and Enzo Maresca said it. He's like, yo, I still think there are parts of our game that let me know that we're not in a title race. You know, he said that. He was like, look, everyone keeps talking about title race, but I don't think we're there yet. And I think today was a very stark reminder that we're just not there yet. You know, like today is a match where you need your superstar to step up. You know, like, these are the matches where when you have an Eden Hazard, he'll take the ball from box to box and go score. You know, it's one of those matches where you need your superstar like Cole Palmer to just take it within himself and be like, let me go win this match, because no one else is going to win this match for us, so I have to go do it. And that's why, like, I love Cole Palmer. You know, we like CP, we got the same initials. I've been on this podcast multiple times gassing him up. But at the end of the day, bro, it just the same way I expect more from Bruno, I expect more from Cole. I expect him to go take the game in his hands and go win it. And this is one of the matches where I think it asked for a superstar to step up. You know, it was a very, very nervy match from what I could tell just on the highlights. As a Chelsea fan, if you're watching all 90 minutes, I don't think any Chelsea fan was excited to watch this match. But but I'll give it to Mike. That's just what I took from the highlights. But
yeah, yeah. I mean, Cornelius said it's all right. This wasn't one of his best games. This game for Copama today was very underwhelming. I mean, bad passes. He was frustrated the whole time. It just wasn't his best game today. And you're right. This game showed the reason why, yes, on the table, we might be in a title race. But when it comes to actually our experience level, we're still not there yet. I mean, this was one of those games where we needed our best player to go win the game for us, and he just couldn't do it. He wasn't in the right, you know, headspace for some reason from the start of the game. Just even common passes that he would normally make, he wasn't able to do it. And, you know, shout out to Everton, man. They are a very good defensive team. They've showed it this year that they can actually defend. Sean Dyche, he's the master of clean sheets. He will hold you, but they probably won't score, but they will probably hold you. And I think they did a very good job of that. But, you know, Jackson has some chances that I think he should have put away. And we're seeing, you know, him grow right in front of our eyes. You know, this game took me back to, you know, Jackson last season. You know, he had a tap in, but kudos to Pickford. He saved it on the line, so you have to give him credit. And then he had the other one that hit the post, the corner header that hit the post. This was a last year Jackson game for me. And it's just a reminder that, you know, he's still growing. He's still going through those, you know, growing pains, earning that experience that he needs. But today's game tells you we're not there yet to actually compete and win the league, because if we really want to be in a title race, like Cucurella shouldn't be picking up a red card, which completely, you know, it messed up the lineup, because then now you're playing guys in weird positions. So, yeah, today's game was underwhelming, but I am happy we walked away with a clean sheet. That I'll give the guys credit for, because yes, our back line's been shaky. We've been improving. And there were some big saves today. So kudos to them. You know, we walk away with a point in this. But yeah, we're not in a title race, guys.
I was going to say this this game, I believe, was the first game for Everton, I think, under their new ownership.
Ownership. Yep. Yep. Oh, wow. The first game. Yeah. New
ownership. Mm-hmm. So they're probably, you know, up for that as well, too. But Yeah.
You know, definitely Sanchez, if he played very, very well. That's my first game since Sanchez.
You know,
you actually look proper.
I'll give my rest to this. You know, he's been saying all season he's number one. He's my number one. And I feel like as the season goes on, he is getting, you know, some confidence in the way he plays. So we'll see. I don't know. I still don't think. From? Spain. Sanchez?
Okay. Yeah,
Spain. So but I still don't know. But we'll see. We'll see.
I'm with Mike on that one. I don't know, but today he played well, man. Just based off the highlights, I give.
See games like today, and you're like, maybe there's a chance. And then the next game, he gives a pass that you're just like, bro, what are you doing? But
yeah, man, I feel like I don't know this. I'm kind of glad I didn't watch this match, because I would have been frustrated.
You didn't miss anything.
I would have woken up and been frustrated. So it's one of those matches where, as a Chelsea fan, you kind of just have to take it as what it is and just move. You know, like Mike said, I'm cool with the point. I'm cool with the point. As long as we don't drop and go zero, we just got to stay. You know, even when Liverpool wins matches, you just got to stay within striking distance. Mm-hmm. And we're still within striking distance.
Hold on, let me ask Mike, because Cornelius said last week you are in a title race.
Yeah, I mean,
but like, why don't you think you are?
Because of our experience. I think our experience will show.
I'm not hearing it.
Whether or not we want to be,
I think it was Joe. I think the table is telling us we are, but I think realistically, experience wise, we're not.
I mean, we are. The table has determined it for us. We can't even hide it.
I know what this is. I know.
Yeah, man. So when Mike knows. We were never in a race.
Mike's holding up pictures that saying we are not in a title race. I don't buy that shit, bro. I do not. I've known you for so many years. I do not. Yeah, man. He'd be like this right here.
Hey, man. Just donate your 3 points.
Yeah, just donate your three.
We're here for your donations. Just donate your 3 points to us. That's what we want.
Oh, man. Realistically, the table says
we are, but I think next season I can be.
You're in one. Stop it. You're in one. Mike, I want to hear it, bro. You're in one. Please.
All right. We'll see.
And talk to your manager too, please. You're in one.
Yeah. Coming from the guy who's been in a title race for the last few seasons. You know, they were the only one on the pod who managed to collect 3 points. You know, they didn't need any donation. They went in, they grabbed it. Unfortunately, there was a injury to Saka. We saw him go out early in the first half. We don't know how long it'll be. We think it's a hamstring. It seems like it's a hamstring injury. So first and foremost, prayers up to Saka. We hope for a speedy recovery because first and foremost, you know, as our African brother, we just want to see you play, bro. This is the first time he's actually had an injury, you know, like a major injury in his career. So just speedy recovery. We hope that, you know, you get back to health as soon as possible. But major blow for Arsenal, but they were able to collect the 3 points. You know, Gabriel, as far as the match, just overall thoughts and feelings, and then, you know, you guys are climbing your way back to where you should be, you know, still behind Chelsea, but right there within striking distance. Overall thoughts from the match?
Overall thoughts, I mean, I actually have a lot of thoughts from this match, if I'm being completely honest. I didn't think I'd have a lot to say, but a few things I want to touch on were I liked our lineup. I really liked our lineup. I know Kai Havertz in the midfield really didn't work at all last year at all, but this match seemed to work. And he was kind of playing in – he was kind of, you know, still in that forward role in a sense and with the pressing and this and the third, but it worked for this match. I can't really pinpoint why. But I definitely like the lineup. I like Lewis Skelly playing. And honestly, if I'm being completely honest, you know, we scored first, but we had a rough 20 minutes. Like, Crystal Palace were on us for the first 20 minutes, 30 minutes of the match. And we definitely looked uncomfortable until we got that second goal and went up 2-1. So it was a little discouraging to see us at home struggling like that, because we past two seasons we haven't struggled like this at home, and I never have really had to think about it that much like that. But it was good to score five goals. We haven't done that. Well, we've done that a couple of times, but I love, you know, getting our goal differential back. But the biggest thing, I guess I can say, I took from this match was I've been extremely critical of Gabriel Jesus. And he scored, you know, two goals. He scored three goals against them earlier this week in the FA Cup, you know, or Carabao Cup. Great, you know, love the performances. Good. And I've been extremely critical of him. But like we've said before, and we said it even earlier when we were talking about strikers and him and Durant, my issue with Jesus has never been his play, what he does on the pitch, technical ability, holding up the ball, work rate. Never. It's never been an issue for me as a player. My only issue with Jesus has been on the stat sheet. He doesn't score. He doesn't assist enough. That's always been my issue with him. And it was refreshing. And as a fan, I think Jesus is the striker for us by the way we play. With the way we play, we look so much more fluid with Jesus on the field. Just very, very simple. With Kai Havertz, it's more long balls. It's more, you know, headers. It's more, you know, the nine isn't as involved in the buildup. But with Jesus, we're a much more fluid team. And I think, you know, going back to two seasons ago when he first came in, I thought the fluidity was there when he first came in. And, you know, I think when we play with him, he's very fluid. The only issue was he just didn't score, which is a major issue. So if he's able to have, I don't expect him to score two goals, score five goals in two matches. I mean, I don't expect that every week. But if he's able to keep up performances like this, I'd love to see him in the lineup. Like I said, I've never had – my only issue with Jesus is that he doesn't score, bro. And if you can give me goals, not every week, but GA, every week, assist here, goal there, bro, I would love to see you in my lineup, 100%. I guarantee it, I'd love to see you start with Kai Havertz. I'm not even trying to be funny, because I think as a nine, he provides so much. He does. He provides so much for us. But you just got to score, bro. You have to do your job. Your main job is scoring. All the other things look great. I have no issue with those things, but you have to score. And if he's able to continue scoring and continue on this, you know, run that he's having, it'll be great. And honestly, this match spoke volumes for me, and it's probably like my last point, is that we haven't had a Saka injury like this. This is our first time and Saka's really about to go through something. I don't know if you guys saw, I sent the video in the chat, but he left on crutches. And I know it's kind of standard for them to, you know, whatever the injury is, guys leave on crutches just to, you know, just to kind of keep weight off of the whole nine. But, you know, you've seen guys move on crutches a little different. He was moving slow on those crutches.
Yeah, it looked bad.
It looked really bad. And I said in the chat, I mean, I don't want to speculate and things like that, but, bro, I'm expecting a lengthy – I'm not expecting to see him until maybe February. Honestly, February, mid-February, late February, just off the strength of that video of him walking. I'm expecting 8 weeks, 2 months, 8 weeks. That's what I'm – that's just my assumption. I'm thinking worst-case scenario. So right now is the perfect time for the group to come together and say, hey, listen, the guy who's provided over half of our GA this entire season is now out. Who's going to step up?
Somebody.
It's very, very simple.
Who do you think?
It's very, very simple.
Good question.
And to be honest, one, I'm going to go to my captain first. I need him to step up. Very, very simple. But I don't think it's one specific player. I think it's the collective. If I want to go back to, if I want to go back to the 22-23 season, right? As a collective, we balled out. You know what I mean? As a collective, Martinelli was balling out. Jesus was—he did his 1-2. Odegaard, same thing. He did his 1-2. Saka did his 1-2. We had defenders in the mix. You know, getting goals. Xhaka had, close to 10 goals. I think that season. I think as a collective, everyone needs to come together and produce the same—not the same numbers, but identical numbers. To what we did two seasons ago, because if we don't do that, these goals are, you know, they're going to dry up very, very quickly, because the guy who's been assisting and scoring goals is now gone. So I think, you know, I don't want to say this is like a good thing for us, because I don't think it's ever a good thing when someone gets injured, especially your star player. And on top of that, you know, he's provided so many goals and assists during the season. But I think this is a true moment for our team to come together and figure it out, because we haven't figured it out up until this point. And it's good to see Martinelli finally scoring. It's good to see Jesus scoring like this, but it's like, bro, it's good in those moments when we still have Saka, but now he's gone. He's gone for a couple weeks at least. So what do we want to win a title or no? And if you guys can go and get these points and score these goals, when he comes back, it's going to be even easier. That's the truth. It's going to be even easier when he comes back. But he's gone now. Who's going to step up? And I think it's as a collective, everyone needs to step up and do their part. So to answer your question, I think it's a collective as a group. I think the set pieces will play a huge part, you know. But I, as I'm looking at my front three now, like Martinelli, Odegaard, what's the name? Jesus, Kai Havertz, Trossard, all of my attackers, bro. This is now your time to claim a spot. This is now your time to show me that you deserve this contract extension. It's time to show me that you want to be Premier League champions, that you want to win trophies, that you want to do this, want to do that. It's someone's time to step up, and we all have to step up, because obviously this is a huge miss. This is a guy that we can count on day in, day out. We just said, you know, Cole Palmer is sometimes that guy that, you know, we need that guy to, or we need a star player to sometimes just will us through a match. This is the guy who's going to will us through a match, and he's now gone. We need someone else to will us through matches. And I don't personally think that anyone on our team is to that caliber, but as a collective, extremely strong. So I'm just looking at the team. This is the perfect time, especially right before the new year, to be like, listen, it's time to lock in. It's time to lock in. So unfortunate what happened to Saka. Like I said, I don't want to speculate, but I expect him to be gone for a while. And I don't want to rush him back or anything like that. So he's gonna take his time, but it's gonna be a very, very, very telling next month, if I'm being honest. Can we continue with good performances? Can we continue to score goals? Can we continue to play well without our star player? And every other team has had to do it, you know. City's doing it right now. I mean, they're struggling. They're struggling right now without their two best players. So can we do it? And I think we have the players to do it. I think Sunday showed that. He went down early, 20 minutes in, he went down. And we had scored before that, but, you know, he went down early. So it's good to see them, you know, tally on the goals, but can you consistently do this? And like I said, Jesus flying this week, 5 goals in a week.
Yeah.
Can you consistently do this? You know, can you consistently score?
I have a question for you about how you guys are going to adjust with Saka. What are you expecting, or what do you think Arteta will do in terms of the lineup? Do you think because Saka is out, he somehow keeps Jesus and Havertz still in the lineup?
I personally think Jesus has to start next week. It's just kind of that, like, it'd be dumb. A guy scores 5 goals in a week and you don't start. Like, I think he has to start. In terms
you keep
of
Kai in the lineup,
you have to.
Honestly, I think so too.
You have to. So someone's starting, either him or Trossard.
And honestly, we have some guys coming back, which is great. Finally, like Kyle Fiori is coming back. Even Tomiyasu was apparently available the other day. So crazy. But we have guys coming back, which is good. But I think Kai Havertz has to start. I think Gabriel Jesus has to start. And right now, bro, I don't know if Declan Rice is going to start, if I'm being honest.
Ooh, Declan Rice?
Because if we're putting Kai Havertz, he's going to go back to the midfield. It's just that simple. He's going to go back to the mid. Yeah. Partey is going to start, or Jorginho's going to start in that role. Declan Rice can also start in that role, but what we went with yesterday was very fluid. I just want to say it took a second.
Wait, Rice didn't start yesterday?
Nope, he was on the bench. He came in 60 minutes. Came in 60 minutes in. Once they went on a little run, they got some. They got a little bit of attack. He brought on Calafiori and Declan Rice to stop that immediately. Right now, I don't know if that's what, you know, our lineup looks like. It looked fluid. It looked very, very fluid, which Kai Havertz in the midfield hasn't at all, but it looked fluid the other day. So, you know.
Yeah, I put Jesus out wide and just put Havertz up top.
I hear that, but at the same time, bro, like I said, Jesus provides something going down the middle that Kai Havertz does not.
That's very clear.
And I think, you know, it will take, you know, them two kind of swapping, you know, and I think that they have to find that balance of, okay, Kai Havertz is going to play in this 8/10-ish role. Where can, you know, when is his time to, you know, go forward and Jesus drop back? And you're going to have to find that balance. And I think that balance, if we can find it, very, very good.
Or your boy, Wanyeri. Come on.
Wanyeri as well, you know. But right now, I just don't see him getting time. You know, Odegaard's back. Gabriel Jesus is flying. I don't see him starting anytime soon in the Prem, and we need matches. And Arteta is going to go with his trusted guys. You know, he'll get his Carabao. He'll come into matches and stuff like that, but I don't see him starting right now.
He'll get games.
He'll get games. He'll get minutes. He'll get games. But no, I think this lineup, it looked good. It looked good at least this week, and we'll just have to figure out what next week looks like. Because
did you guys get a timeline on when Saka will be back yet? Or?
I haven't seen anything. And I doubt they're going to say anything until next week.
2025. Hey, Arteta is going to, you know, play my games with this one too.
Yeah, no, for sure. He'll definitely play my games.
Arteta will find a way. I really hope Saka is not out that long. I feel like he's been very durable for you guys. Like I said in the group chat, I feel like I've seen him hurt, and then I see him the next weekend. So I hope it's one of those. But after I saw the video, I was like, damn.
Nah, he can't do it like Ange. Don't mismanage him like Ange Postecoglou. Yeah. Don't do that, and then just completely
alter
the trajectory of your season.
Nah, bro, we don't. We want to see you back on the pitch, but don't rush it.
No,
like I said, I don't want to rush him. And this is a guy that, bro, we don't want you. We don't want you to be injured. We want you on the pitch, but we want you to be 100% on the pitch. We don't want you to be, 70%, and then everything in your body's overcompensating, and then you go injure yourself, and you're out for even longer, bro. Like, nah, this is a guy we're gonna.
I mean, this would also tell us a lot about Arteta, man. We're gonna find out a lot about Arteta. This is the first time we're really seeing Arsenal not have their guy. Like, this would be the first time we see this.
Hey, they got Odegaard.
Not even our guy. Our guys, bro. We've been injured all season. It's just one after the other, bro. Like I said, we got four fullbacks slot back this past match. Bro.
Yeah. They got Odegaard, the guy who's been getting all the plaudits. They got Odegaard.
Nah, bro. And Gabriel's going through, he needs the whole team to step up. But you know how I feel, bro. Captain, you're the captain.
This is your time.
It's not even that this is his time. This is his responsibility, bro.
Exactly.
Gabriel said that 2 years ago, that 22-23 season, Mans was balling. Was balling when he first got the armband. Mm-hmm. I think, or maybe it was before he got the armband. Mans was balling, bro. Odegaard, we were on here talking about it. Odegaard looked the best center mid. It was like, is it him or is it Kevin? Who is it? We don't know. And since then, he hasn't played at that level consistently. For a stretch of games. We haven't seen it for 3, 4, 5 matches in a row, where 2 years ago he was doing that on a consistent level. So for me, that's who I'm looking at, guy. You were hurt to start the season, and then you've come back, and now you're starting to find form again. I need you to play. I need you to play. Like, for real, I need you to be that guy again, because the league is too tight this year. There's no room for error, bro. Yeah. There's none. So
I just said him because he's the one that, he gets all the applause for.
Absolutely. As he should, though. As he should. You should get applause when your team is doing well, but you should also get.
No, it should be.
I don't want to say ridiculed or criticized, but we have to hold you to a higher standard. That's all I'm saying. We have to.
And when it comes to Odegaard, like this the last thing I'll say about Arsenal really is that, listen, man, when you went down, Brody held it down.
Exactly.
Simple. You went down this season, Brody held it down. Held it down 10 toes, bro. 10 toes, GA, every game almost. Now is your time to hold my bro down. You're the skip. Now it's really time to not only hold bro down, hold the team down and hold them accountable, and you yourself. So that's really the only thing I have to say. Saka did it for you, bro. Now it's time to do it for him.
I agree. That's fair.
That's the place to end it right there.
That's fair, man. Lock of the week, Gabriel. How we do?
Man, went 3 for 4. Unfortunately, Kanoza's lock did not hit, but all of our other locks hit. 3 for 4. Good week, boys. It'd be up 3 units. You feel me? So, yeah, good picks, guys. Good picks. my good pick on the Villa one too. I was a little surprised. Yeah. You texted me. I was like, bro.
I was like, dude, somebody's got to do it. Let's go. Let's ride this wave. Let's get at least one more game in because I knew Everton was next. It might end up at Everton, but let's try this.
See Spurs. I knew they were going to get battered. No, bro. Both their center backs were out. That back five is horrendous. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, and like,
right,
bro. Six goals at home.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess we're better because we've only conceded three at home. But
yeah, man. But yeah, shout out! Right when they beat you guys, I knew. I'm like, yep, they're not beating Liverpool. They already beat one big team. Two is too much for them. Yeah. One a week is okay.
I usually stay away from money lines, but this week,
nah. I knew.
Shout out! Right.
My shout out of the week. Who's my shout out of the week, man?
Shout out Nottingham Forest. Just the whole squad. They're balling. Never would expect this from this team.
That was one of mine too. I just want to say shout out to everyone who got drafted into the MLS. We had the 100%. Draft earlier this week. So shout out to all the young boys out there living and fulfilling their dreams. Super dope.
Yeah. Facts.
Yep. My shout out. It's more of like a get well soon because he's also my crash out. Pep Guardiola, man. Hold your head up high, King. You got it. You got it, champ.
I don't even know what's going through his head.
That's funny.
Bro, he must be watching film like 24/7. Like, bro.
Yeah. I can imagine that he's sitting there thinking, how am I not figuring this out?
Bro. Can't even lose hair. His beard is great. His beard is great. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't even. Nah, man. Now, my other shout out, man, I'm going to shout you guys out, man. My brothers on the pod. It's been a great 2024. Yes,
well,
man, 2025 is going to start out very well. And after that, I'd hop on now, man. Because yesterday's price.
It's not today's price.
But yeah, if you guys don't have anything, we'll end it.
Predictions? We're doing predictions.
Oh, yeah.
Midweek.
Boxing day.
Yeah. Midweek. We see Ipswich next Friday at home. That's it.
Bro, I'm not gonna hold you. We see Fulham midweek.
Fulham's been moving crazy lately.
That's Fulham. A trap game, bro. At home too. It's a London thing.
I still think we beat them though. I think this is a 2-1. Seems like a first. Yeah.
Fulham and Chelsea are right next to each other in London, you know that, right?
Yeah, we're literally right next to each other.
I ain't gonna lie. Yeah, real London derby. Fulham's mad nice, too. I've been to the city. Bro, Fulham's nice, bro. It's a nice little city.
Craven Cottage. Okay.
Yeah, man. Who do y'all see, United?
Fulham. Yeah, 2-1.
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm done.
You said 2-1?
Yeah, 2-1. I agree with Cornelius.
What did you say?
I said 2-1.
Okay. Yeah, on Thursday, we see Wolves away from home. I would call a GRG, but...
I was waiting on it, too. I was like, you gonna call GRG?
Nah, I would. It should be.
It should be.
I think we'll get a win away from home. And then 4 days later, we have a tough task at home. We play... Newcastle. So, I mean, if I were to tell you to put it in a bet, I'd probably do Isak goal because that may be my pick for that week. But I think we'll get a tie at home. I think it'll be 2-2. So we'll get 4 points on the week.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Damn, we see Liverpool right after that. And then Arsenal. Great. Okay. So, yeah. 2025. Out. Yeah, 2025. Wow, Amarim out. Yeah.
Fast you know, day.
Who else, man? We're approaching Chelsea territory now. I don't want to be like you guys.
That is crazy. That is,
you really are.
You're not wrong. Yeah.
You guys have had literally every manager in Europe who is like, you know what I'm saying?
Somebody.
You have, bro. From Don Carlo to Gus Hiddink to Antonio Conte to my favorite one. My favorite one. Mike, who is the guy? My Andres Villas-Boas, he's my favorite one, right? Yeah, hey, him.
Everybody wants something though.
Hey, Mauricio Pochettino, Graham Potter, yeah. Thomas Tuchel,
Frank Lampard. Don't forget about Frankie.
Frank Lampard, Jose Mourinho twice. Yeah, bro.
Oh man, sorry, man.
Sorry.
Sorry time, man.
Man.
I think the only manager you haven't had is Allegri, bro.
Yeah.
You haven't had Allegri. Really? You were linked.
Because he didn't have a job the same time Tuchel didn't have a job, right?
Mm-hmm.
They were both jobless at the same time, I think.
Yeah.
I can see you going after Eddie Howe. You know what I'm saying? Oh, wow. Enzo don't work out. Eddie Howe.
Man, this Enzo guy, I hope we keep him forever.
Oh yeah,
I hope it works out. Okay.
All right. Well, I appreciate everybody for tuning in. As always, good luck to you and your future endeavors.